I'm so white, bro. Oh my
God. We're back here, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Thursday after Thanksgiving break. We hope you all had a happy holiday. We hope you all were able to go home, visit your family, have hopefully a nice week off if you worked. Hopefully you at least got Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off and the weekend. I'm John Cusick here with my partners Darren Byrne and Aaron Simons.
Hello.
Hi.
Aaron's back here slowly off the mic, but we're going to talk to you about college football and the NFL today, but I want to start off with a few things of my own. First of all, Tiger Woods is back playing golf, and I know probably most of you don't care, but
yeah, man.
Bet it all on Tiger Woods. Do it all. Bet it. Everything.
You're crazy.
That's
why.
Okay. Bet it all.
He's a head case.
Bet it all.
After he got caught cheating, he's
I'm
a head
sad,
case.
I'm sad, man. I feel like if that first Masters after he was back, okay, so like the whole thing goes down with his wife, and he decides to play in the Masters that year, he takes third. If he wins the Masters that year, I feel like ego boost, and we've been talking about Tiger Woods ever since, but I'm sad to see what has happened.
It's pretty sad. I'm still pretty hyped.
I was the biggest Tiger fan, too,
I'm
man.
Still
I used
a big
to watch
Tiger
him on
fan.
Saturdays, Sundays.
Bro, he's
dad,
the reason
man.
Why I watch golf.
For real, man. He just made it crazy. It was crazy. It was like whoever was playing against him, like, you know, they had to play their best. Tiger would hit one shot into the parking lot, come back and make birdie or par, and people were just shocked. It was a great time of golf.
I don't watch golf.
It's okay. Rest in peace.
That's all right.
Mr. Palmer.
Anyways, pay attention to what Tiger does this weekend. Next up, the MLB signed a new collective bargaining agreement. If you're a baseball fan, that's a huge thing. They get to play baseball, no lockout. That's fantastic. I know there's 162 games. I know you probably wish there was a lockout, but I care. That's pretty cool.
So what was, like, the premise of the lockout? Is there, like, a shortening game? Like, or not the lockout, but the agreement?
It was just pretty much they knocked down revenue sharing from teams. They removed the All-Star game actually meaning who gets home field advantage. They got rid of they proposed an international draft, which was a big thing, and they got rid of that. So there's going to be no international draft, but they're going to cap teams assigning players one player at $5 to $6 million a year or something like that. So you can't just sign these huge Cuban prospects
cool
for $80 million.
So it was getting to be like
it was getting out of hand.
And there's
Monopoly,
be,
man. Yeah. Who got the most money, we gonna pay you.
And now there's going to be a luxury tax where if you go over that, you're going to get fined pretty much.
See, that's
so
good.
Angels.
So it's going to curb like the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox just blowing money on people.
Yeah, because remember, you know, in the NFL before they had their cap, I mean, it was ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, the people would be getting signed rookie contracts, you know, $70 million contracts
and
as a
Sam
rookie.
Sam Bradford was the last one to do that. And they realized that was probably not a good thing anymore.
Exactly. So,
and then the last thing, Andrew McCutchen, one of the biggest MLB superstars, one of the best players in the game, is probably going to get traded to the Washington Nationals and add him with Bryce Harper.
I feel like the Nationals become the new Yankees, just buying out whoever.
You might as well do what you can until you get fined. So I think that's a big deal in the MLB. We're going to check on that here in a couple weeks. Winter meetings just got underway today, or pre-winter meetings. Winter meetings will start sometime this week after the CBA is actually 100% signed. They're still working out the details. But we're going to move to college football. We got conference championship weekend. I know these two are super, super excited. I'm super excited. I don't even play football. I've never even played football. So I can't wait. We're going to talk about this MAC championship first. We got Western Michigan versus Ohio. I showed these two a video earlier that's going to go out. You know, Zach Terrell is having a great year. I know it's in the MAC, but 30 touchdowns with one interception, and his receiver Corey Davis has just under 1,300 yards with 17 touchdowns. I mean, those two are a dynamic duo, and you're going up against a team in Ohio that I don't really know too much about, but they're 8-4 coming into the year. They got a guy on the defensive line that just set the school record for sacks last year. He's got 30 in his career. I don't see Western Michigan losing. They're trying to get into that New Year's Six Bowl.
They won't, though. That's what all this controversy is about. They just won't, because unless Boise State loses –
But they're the higher ranked team in college football.
Yeah, but they play in the MAC though.
But Boise State doesn't play for the title.
That is
true. It's Wyoming versus San Diego State.
Bumfries.
I just have a hard time really just like getting on the Western Michigan bandwagon. A, I haven't really seen any of their games, and B, you know, they play in the MAC. I think this will probably be the toughest game of the season, you know, for them. And it's just. I don't know. It's the MAC, you know? I mean, have they played anybody who's relevant at all?
Pulling it up for you right now. I knew
not really. No, they don't. But
they played Northwestern earlier in the year.
Oh, well, you know how good Northwestern's been this year. It's the MAC, you know? I don't know. I just you know, I no, it's the MAC.
I mean, they won 22-21 against Northwestern, beat up NCCU. I don't even know who that is. 70-21.
Who even is that?
They beat Central Michigan 49-10. In case anybody's curious, Central Michigan beat, I know it was Tech, they beat OK State.
Yeah, but did that really count, though? Didn't they say that that didn't count?
Oh, yeah, that game was wild. Yeah, I remember that game.
They said that that point didn't count, but even though they did win, it didn't count technically. Yeah, but they technically, shouldn't have, they shouldn't have won that game.
Yeah. So, regardless, I mean, I think Corey Davis is an elite wide receiver prospect on the outside. He's probably the number two.
If you're 30-1, if your ratio is 30-1, then you must have a great offensive line.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You might play in the MAC.
No, nah, bro. I mean, come on. I don't care how you play. It's still Division I football, man.
It's honestly barely a step above Division I FCS football. They should. I bet North Dakota State could beat. North Dakota State beat Iowa, but they could also. I bet you they could beat Western Michigan too. I mean, I think that they're good. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. But
a good season, man. You gotta respect.
They're having a good season but they're in the MAC. They're in the MAC. I think that if they want to be taken like serious and be relevant, they need to do what Houston did after they went. You know, had a crazy season one or 2 years ago, and then they all of a sudden they schedule these big games. Them in Memphis, they schedule these big teams like Oklahoma's and Notre Dame's. Things like that to come play so they can build their strength of schedule. Because now...
I hear you. I feel like this is their welcoming party to college football, potentially. Who knows?
We'll see. I mean, unless that quarterback's a senior. I mean, they are doing something special over there.
That's
but
what I'm saying. It's hard to build tenure when you're kind of coming out of nowhere. But that's a knock against these teams, man. That's why I feel like the college football playoffs should really be like 6 teams.
I think it should be 6 to 8 teams, honestly. You know what I'm saying? Because you could still get that conference championship,
man. You could allow... Even I mean, when North Dakota State was ridiculous, mm-hmm. like you could allow them in that final 16 and go and let them take a shot. I mean,
well, the week after they beat Iowa, they had the most votes to be in the top 25, even though they're not FBS.
Yeah, exactly. So like that's just speaking for itself.
And now they beat Iowa when Iowa was like number five in the country. So that's pretty impressive.
You know, I don't want to take it. You're right. Well, let's not take anything away from Western Michigan. Going undefeated in football
He's a senior. So I mean,
Corey Davis is going
to
leave.
Exactly. So, I really think that this is like their year. Like they've all really worked really hard all these four years.
So you have to respect
it.
Them. Yeah,
I get it. And I mean, even though
you get it because you're an understanding person in the committee.
Yeah, they won't understand that. I think that honestly, I think that if we had a 6 to 8 team playoff, it'd be awesome to see them. You know, get a chance, get a shot to, you know, they would get throttled by Alabama.
The problem is here's the deal. I agree that it should be either 6 to 8. I'd prefer 6 because then you give 1 and 2 a bye. And then you get those two teams, you get those four teams playing in to play those two teams. I think that would be a much better idea.
Yeah.
And you'd get the Power Five. You take your Power Five conference champs, even though the Big 12 still doesn't have a conference championship
game.
To,
if they ever want to be relevant, they need to do that. So
and play some defense.
Yeah.
But then you throw a wild card in there. So then we're not in the situation where Ohio State, we'll talk about the college football playoff after these two games, but then we're not in the situation where Ohio State isn't in the conference title game, but they can be a wild card. You can still be the number two team in the nation and be a wild card. Yeah. And you take the five other conferences. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And you're probably going to get the 6 best teams because in reality, when you think about it.
So are you suggesting take the conference champions and then.
Yes. And then a wild card.
And then a wild card team. Okay.
Which would be odd. Right now, you would have you'd have Alabama. You'd have Penn State / Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You'd probably have Ohio State as the wild card, and you'd have OU, OK State, whichever one.
You'd count in like the American Conference champion.
No,
the,
I don't think. I think you take the conference champs of the Power Five.
Okay, but then what? They're not the MAC isn't a Power Five conference.
No,
so then
it's
what
not.
Happens to them? Then what happens
That's
to
the wild card? That's what sneaks.
But Ohio State is the wild card because they're at number two.
I understand that, but I mean that's when it comes down to. I mean, the committee doesn't make a decision, but I mean look at this season, the wins and losses. You have double-digit wins.
Yeah.
I
just think that the committee has a hard time doing that because they're in the MAC. I mean,
it's tough. And I agree. I think everybody, if you win your conference, you should have a chance. But you're going to sit here and tell me that the American Conference, besides Houston that was in that.
It's got to go into stuff like that. I mean, like, it's understanding this year, specifically this year speaking. Let's not get so close-minded as just this year. Because we know Ohio State has always been a team to average, 50 points a game?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? in future years to come, they'll be the number one seed. And they'll have it locked up, and that's when it'll be more interesting. Yeah. This year has been crazy.
This year is the year.
No one thought Penn State was going to beat Ohio State.
This is the year we learn what the committee wants to value.
You know,
in my opinion. I think this is the year. There's an it's an impossible layout in front of the committee.
Oh, I right feel now. Bad for whoever's on the committee right now.
It's tough going for the committee, and ideally, if they do what they say they're supposed to do and get the four best teams, Ohio State is one of the four best teams
they
in the
are.
Country. And like, as much as you want to sit here and argue that conference championships matter and stuff like that,
they kind of don't if they beat the conference champion
for real. And that's what like
yes.
That's why I'm a diehard Wisconsin fan, as you guys all know that.
But if you guys win this weekend, it doesn't matter. It does, you it can't really get in.
There's no way we get in unless Washington and Clemson lose. There's no way we get in.
But then my argument is, if CU slaughters Washington, if they win,
which won't happen.
Okay, which won't happen.
Are you saying that a two-loss CU team is better than a one or two-loss Michigan team or a two-loss Wisconsin team, which Wisconsin has the toughest ranked schedule in the country? You know what I mean? I hope CU thrashes Washington. It'd be awesome. I think they have the ability to do that, but at the same time, I just really don't see them jumping over.
And the problem is whether or not they slaughter Washington, it comes down to the point where it is you didn't beat Michigan.
Exactly.
You can't get past Michigan.
You didn't beat Michigan, and even if Clemson loses and they beat Washington, Clemson is only going to they haven't lost the game yet. You got to remember that. So you're telling me that a two or three loss CU team is better than a one loss Clemson team or a Michigan team that they didn't beat or a two loss Wisconsin team? I don't think so. So there's no way that CU gets in. There's no way that Wisconsin gets in.
The only team that has a legitimate shot this weekend right now that has a chance to jump everybody should be Penn State, and that's because they've beaten Ohio State.
That false. The Penn State, the only team that they've played is Ohio State. They did beat them. I get that, but their strength of schedule is weak compared to Wisconsin.
And they got smacked by Michigan.
We played Michigan and only lost 14-7 on a play that we shouldn't have lost on.
Yes, and I'm saying Penn State. Their only real selling point right now is that they're a conference championship.
And they also beat
the number two team right now, Ohio State.
But are you saying that I guess it's possible that they do jump Michigan
you
in that case.
Point. I feel like that's, I agree with you. The only team that really make a crazy difference is them.
Penn State, yeah.
That's the only team that has a legitimate shot, in my opinion,
because they
jumping
have beat
teams.
One of the top five teams. Yes. Okay, I get what
you're saying. That's all I'm saying. They have the most to play for. All right, we got off on a tangent here. We're going to go to the Pac-12. CU versus Washington. I know Darren's a huge fan of this game. I'm a huge fan of this game. Aaron is probably a huge fan of this game
Pac-12.
As well. Pac-12s are great.
Yeah, no, I feel like Pac-12's kind of underwhelming, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, I'm not interested in this game at all. I feel like CU has
CU's got something to prove.
He's got something to play, but I mean,
I think that the Pac-12 this year hasn't been relevant just because the normal powers aren't in contention. You don't have the UCLAs up there. You don't have USC
Oregon's,
is finally
USC firing their head coach.
USC has finally came back this season, but you don't have Oregon or Stanford, you know, doing what they normally do, and so it's like, you know, I was in Boulder.
Which is why I'm underwhelmed.
I was in Boulder to see the Utah game against CU's defense is pretty scary good.
I think CU's defense is real. I think we're talking about...
They've got good, tall, lanky corners
who know how
to play the ball. I can't count how many different goal line stands they were down there and defended four downs in the red zone. I mean,
I don't know if
impressive.
Either of you know this stat, but CU's third in the nation pass yards per attempt. Guess who's in front of them? Michigan and Ohio State. Those are the only two teams that are better than them in the passing game. And you're going to go up against a team in Washington that throws the ball just about every single down.
Man, that's true. The one thing that CU's defense doesn't have is an elite pass rusher. I mean, they have great run stoppers up there with Tupou. That guy Tupou, number 54 and 58 are two monsters that plug that middle on that defense. I saw them throw around they each take up two guys and let those linebackers just run free. But the problem with Washington is Washington doesn't run the ball. Washington throws the ball.
And the Pac-12 has been awful this year. On the real.
So
and
that's
they've been playing horrible opponents.
Compared to what I expected out of Stanford.
They've been playing terrible opponents all year. So okay, I respect the fact they're number three in the nation with pass defense regards.
Mm-hmm.
They've been playing against terrible people all year. I mean, like the Big Ten, I mean, it's just like you have someone from each team you can pick and say, oh, this guy's going to go first round. Who's a wide receiver or a quarterback?
Not in the Big Ten?
For sure.
Who? I don't see that.
I mean,
Oh, like Michigan has Jabril Peppers.
He's a safety, though.
Linebacker hybrid.
Whatever you want to call him. He, Put him at safety, and he's an amazing talent. Stop he's playing not, him he's everywhere.
He's not fast enough to play safety.
I'm saying, bro, the Pac-12 this year has not.
No, it's definitely been underwhelming. I think that it's been. I think that it's been underwhelming just because the teams that you expect to be good aren't good, and so now the different teams are emerging. It's different and it's new. But I mean, the Pac-12, if you look at it, I mean, they've always had two or three teams that are up there. You got Washington, and you got CU. And, you know, I mean, and you got Washington State, you know what I mean? So that's three teams. They're just three different teams that we're not used to.
Before Utah lost this past weekend, they were in there. You know, Stanford moved their way back in. USC has been on fire lately after they started their true freshman.
USC, too.
It has been underwhelming. It has been really disappointing to see what these teams have done because you expected USC and Alabama to be a better matchup in the beginning of the year. And that crushed USC.
That was literally the biggest disappointment of a
because
game I've ever
lost.
That's just a respect game. And that's, I mean, it comes down to like, you don't realize it. That could
make your break your season.
And it broke
USC season.
It did, because if they had won that game or at least been competitive, more competitive, they'd have a higher ranking than
not
nine.
Not even win. You're correct, dude. Being competitive in that
game. If you lose that game by 14, rather than losing 62-3, but you lost 62-3 instead of losing 35-21.
Exactly.
You know?
You have the respect factor, so your ranking A doesn't slide all the way from, I think they came into that game at what, 5 or 6?
I'm saying, every year, off-rip, USC is always best projected to come out of the Pac-12 every year. That's why I feel like that game was just
because they have the most talent per position, I think, arguably with Alabama in the country. I mean, those two teams are the most talented.
No, I feel you. And so it's like, exactly.
If that game had at least been competitive, then they would have gotten dropped, you know, a couple spots in the rankings and still been in contention all season instead of dropping from like 5 into like 23 after just getting throttled. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they eventually fell out of the rankings
and
now they're back in.
They lost to Utah and they lost to Stanford.
And, you know, Stanford and Utah both always have good defenses. Yeah. But I just think that, yeah, if they had played better, we'd be talking about USC, you know, it'd be a different story right now.
It would be. So who you got, CU or Washington?
Realistically, I just don't think that this is the problem. At first I was going to say that I don't think that CU has the offense, but I've seen CU's offense. I mean,
it's changed. Since Stefan Lufau came back from that injury against Michigan,
and
that team is completely different.
And it is warm weather in California. They are in California. Mm-hmm. I pick an upset. I pick CU to win that game.
And?
I got Washington.
Okay. I got CU. I like their secondary against that passing team.
I like the secondary, and I also like, but, I mean, because Washington has one of the biggest offensive lines in the country per position, but at the same time, CU, I've never
Washington's defense is nasty, too, though.
They do have a good defense, but I'm telling you, man.
And it's
going
to come down to which defense is going to play harder, bro. And I mean,
I don't know. Hey,
I know they're nasty, bro.
They have two D tackles up there at CU that can play. They take up two guys every single play.
All right. And so if we're going to say that the defenses are relatively equivalent, then it comes down to someone who was once in the Heisman Trophy candidate discussion. And then
I'm telling you, man, Sefo Lufau throws a pretty deep ball.
I hear that, but if you're coming off injury, bro, and you've been knocked out this year already.
Yeah,
bro,
but he's a fiery competitor, man. I'm telling you, I've been field level watching this guy play. I've seen him with my own two eyes. They got some passion over it. See, something's different in the water at CU this year, and I really think that CU pulls it off this weekend. I do.
The X factor, I shouldn't say X factor because he's going to play a huge part no matter what he does, but it's going to be John Ross because he's lightning quick on the outside.
For Washington.
If he can get by,
get him the ball.
I don't know what I can't pronounce their main cornerback's name, but he's long, he's big, and he's physical. And
I don't know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about. Yeah. It's like I don't want to butcher his name.
I don't
want to butcher his name.
There, man.
That matchup right there is going to be what decides this game, in my opinion. Yeah. Because John Ross and Dante Pettis have caught 30 of Jake Browning's 40 touchdown passes.
Another thing. I mean, they do have, I mean, I think CU's corners are good, but if they have one weakness on their team, it might be consistency at the corner position.
The ability to play the 3-wide and the 4-wide sets.
Exactly.
The 5-wide
Because
sets.
I just don't think that's... I don't know if CU's defensive
that's
backs...
that's all you see Washington
I don't
running.
I don't know if CU's defensive backs have the depth to play. I think they have a couple good guys at their defensive secondary, but I don't know if they have as many good guys
and
to cover
keeping,
all of Washington's good
when
guys.
When you're keeping 4 to 6 defensive backs on the field at all times, that's when you see... That's the part of the game that really
someone's
going to
mess up.
Yes.
When you see... Exactly,
when you get down to your nickel and your slot corners,
you can
right?
You have a guy go in there and fill a hole in the defensive gap.
And get burned.
I'm saying fill a defensive gap like on the offensive defensive side of the ball. It's easy to sub like those guys in and out, man. But like once you get someone in there in a secondary who doesn't pick up a signal, that's when you see crazy. You know, like
that's when you see the big games.
Blown coverage,
okay.
Touchdowns.
All right.
Yeah, I'm picking CU to win that game.
I'm picking a close one. I'm thinking it's going to be a lot closer than we think.
Exactly, and I think the CU pulls it out. I do.
I pick CU. I'm going on the record saying CU. You got Washington?
Yeah, by two touchdowns.
All right,
the rise is real.
All right, moving to Big 12. It's not a real championship game. Battle of Bedlam. We got Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State. Baker Mayfield, since they last lost against Ohio State, him and D.D. Westbrook have kind of lit. I mean, it's just the Big 12, but they've lit it on fire.
Exactly.
Mayfield is completing like over 72% of his passes.
Mm-hmm. They're good, man. You see that game against West Virginia? That was supposed to be a highly touted game.
I tuned into that game because it was snowing, and I expected it to be
Oklahoma
a really good battle.
Ran over Oklahoma.
They said, we're not going to do this.
And they were fighting before the game and stuff, and Oklahoma just took it to them.
Yeah. And West Virginia is supposed to be known for their defense. So
I
didn't see it either. But I like D.D. Westbrook. And I like Baker Mayfield. Carl Joseph ain't there no more.
No.
He's playing for the Raiders. He's helping that team catch
what
swagger.
A defense the Raiders have. Wow.
I like OU in this game. I like Baker Mayfield. As much as I disliked him in the beginning of the year, I like what he does for that team. I like how D.D. Westbrook's been playing, and how are you going to argue against Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine? And I think they got one more that's hanging out right there,
too. They got like a freshman guy.
They got a freshman that's another.
Everybody was tripping when that kid quit. That defensive lineman quit for
Charles Walker.
Yeah,
good old Charles Walker. But we'll talk about that next week, because that's something I want to address with all the coaching changes that have been happening. We can talk about it after this,
especially
actually.
Especially the Oregon one, man.
We can talk about that. Baker Mayfield, back to Oklahoma, I just think Baker Mayfield is a great college quarterback.
Yes.
That's all he's going to be.
Funny. And I feel like we're starting to see a lot of that, bro.
It's just really good college quarterbacks.
Because Justin Dvorak, he has like crazy stats. He'll never play a snap.
Well, yeah, and he's also coming out of Division II football. He might.
I'm just saying, just like it's but crazy like, to see a quarterback with crazy stats.
Yeah.
I mean, he's throwing for close to 500 yards a game.
It's like, what?
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, I mean, he's just Baker Mayfield, in my opinion. He reminds me a lot of Johnny Manziel. As far as like his fiery, you know, fiery play and the way he's just erratic kind of with the football, you know, he kind of just throws it up because he has all these weapons and he has a great defense. That just won't translate to the NFL. The NFL is a game of game managers. That's why, you know, these pro style quarterbacks, that's what I don't understand about quarterbacks coming out of high
that's
school.
That's why Eli's elite.
Because if you go, we'll talk about that in a second.
We'll get
I
to
just
the
think
NFL.
That, like, you know, these guys come out of high school, they get you with all like the high, you know, all these numbers that you throw up on touchdowns, things like that, all the yards, all the cool uniforms and these air raid offenses. But the smart guys, they go to teams like that have a pro style system because that's what the NFL is. That's all the NFL is. It's a three step, five step.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
And so I feel bad for these kids, but at the same time, it's like they need to think before they make, you know, before they sign the letter of intent, because it's like, yeah, you'll be the cool guy on campus for three to four years.
Perfect example right now is you got Cardale Jones, who led a national championship team, sitting on the bench. You got Braxton Miller, who switched positions, and you got JT Barrett, who's probably not going to translate to a pro quarterback. They're going to ask him probably to switch positions, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, but I don't think he's talented enough. Like,
he might not be, but
switch positions.
I think you're right. But think about all the players that have been playmakers on the outside. You got Ezekiel Elliott. You got Mike Weber turning into a star. You had Ted Ginn Jr. You got Curtis Samuel this year that'll be a playmaker and something.
Oh, Curtis Samuel's going to be special. Ohio State, yeah, they've got
they
people.
Got,
but
I think there's people just about.
Man, I mean, I feel like the running back for Michigan also, four.
Oh, you're talking about.
Bro, that kid's.
He's
nasty.
Tough. We can talk about that in a second. Cause
I'm just saying, right. There's a lot of talent, dude. Wisconsin's stacked. You don't have like two linemen go to the league.
Yeah, no, we'll always have two linemen a year go to the league. We got TJ Watt, too.
You hogging up 8 first round picks in the top 10, I'm telling you, man. And that's why I'm just so sad about the Pac-12 not having draft ready people. You got Juju Smith.
Well, because
you got like Browning.
It's the Pac-12, and the Pac-12 is nothing but those West Coast air raid offenses.
No one's been talking about Oregon, man. Like, Oregon was the last Pac-12 team to, like, be in a national championship.
Well, because Oregon is doo-doo. They're bad. They're terrible.
Oregon's kind of bad.
So do you think that, like, I mean, where'd they go wrong? Was it when Chip Kelly decided to go to the NFL?
No, it's when they stopped recruiting quarterbacks. Yeah. You're trying to pull in a kid from Eastern Washington and then a JUCO transfer, and then your true freshman gets hurt.
Mark Helfrich,
have playmakers because of their uniforms.
In Mark Helfrich's last 2 years at Oregon, each year he brought in a graduate transfer. I think that Mark Helfrich has the ability to identify good quarterbacks, but he has no ability to develop those quarterbacks. He identified Mariota. He was a huge, intricate part in recruiting Mariota, but he doesn't know how to develop a quarterback.
He just has good. He's able.
He has a good eye. He can see it, and he can get them. But he's mediocre at developing that talent.
We're off on a tangent. It's cool. I love doing this. Back to OU, OSU. Who you got?
OU.
OU.
OU. All right, that one's pretty simple. Battle of Bedlam's not really a battle.
No.
Going to the SEC, we don't have to talk about this because
Alabama is the most loaded team. It's
Aaron
ridiculous.
Says next. Everybody's got Alabama here. Florida ain't got no weapons.
Florida doesn't even have a quarterback.
ACC, we got Clemson versus Virginia Tech.
Clemson, of course, man.
I'm telling you, Clemson.
I think it's going to be closer than we think. I think Virginia Tech, mm-hmm. they suffered some bad losses. They probably suffered a loss. They probably shouldn't have lost earlier this year. They're still in the top 25. I think Jerrod Evans, he's been playing like Deshaun Watson was last year.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson just has a hard day. In every game that they play, they just start out super slow.
They are super monotonous. Let me get into it.
Then they get in second quarter.
Halfway through the third quarter, exactly. Let me light somebody up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always nasty.
All right.
So I think that's why it would be closer is just because
yes,
they
start
so out
too.
So
and
slow.
I think the problem, and that's when they play with fire, is they start out so slow and they let a team feel like they can play, and then it comes into this weird, mm-hmm. We're only up 7 with 3 minutes to play. Let's hit a quick hitter and be up 14. Yeah. Yeah.
There's not a single different quarterback in the country that I take in the last minute with a timeout down a touchdown than Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, what he did against Alabama last year, they were down 2 touchdowns and they gave them a legitimate shot at the end of that game. I think they only lost by a field goal. Mm-hmm. So, 10 points. But Deshaun Watson knows what to do in late game situations.
No one's beating Alabama this year.
Lastly, Big Ten, probably the biggest game of the weekend.
On Wisconsin.
We know Darren's on Wisconsin. What do you got?
I mean, I feel like
Penn State.
Penn State, yeah.
Wisco.
I'm gonna go with Penn State.
What are you talking? Why? How? And why? What? Why would you say that?
Because he likes to be different. You know,
Penn State because they've had a lot riding on their season.
So have we.
But they have more to play for than Wisconsin does. And I feel when you get down to these kind of games in a season, man.
Hey, you never know what can happen. Clemson could lose, and so could Washington. And so I think that if Clemson and Washington lose.
Clemson is not losing. Washington's probably not going to lose either.
Washington's going to lose, but okay.
All right, if that happens, I'm telling you, Penn State has more reason to fight. They have like we all agreed on earlier, the best argument to sneak –
to jump teams, they have the best argument, yes.
So
are they going to do it? I don't know.
All right.
Here,
call me after the game.
Here's what.
Call me after the
I'm
game,
gonna,
Darren.
Here we go. So Penn State's missing 3 of its starting linemen. Their running back hasn't rushed for over 100 yards in the last 3 games because of that.
And they're going up against a stiff, tough Wisconsin defense. The same Wisconsin defense that took Ohio State into double overtime.
And
the
held
same
Michigan
Wisconsin,
to 14 points.
The same Wisconsin that held Michigan to 14 points. The same Wisconsin that beat, snubbed Iowa. The same Wisconsin that it just hasn't allowed more than, 35 points a game? The whole season? The best defense in college football.
Here's my argument. For Penn State potentially winning. Wisconsin's about to start their backup quarterback, Alex Hornibrook. I know they've been splitting time all year, but I don't think he's as good as their starter. And Corey Clement needs to have a big game. He can't just rush for 100 yards. He's got to rush. He's got to control the line of scrimmage. He's got to be able to control what he does. And he has to be able to find those holes that his linemen are going to open up because 2 touchdowns and 100 yards, you got 14 points on the board, but you're not really helping your team right there.
Yeah, Wisconsin right now, we're in a year of transition. I saw that we might be able to get Malik.
The fact that Penn State has beaten Ohio State has lit a fire underneath the team.
Okay. No, it hasn't lit a fire under the team. It's just lit a fire under the rankings. That's the only reason that they're ranked is because they beat Ohio State. Man, they're not good. They're not good. We almost beat Ohio State.
You're so ridiculous. All right, Ohio State's not good.
I'm not saying Ohio State's not good, but I'm saying that Penn State's not good. They caught Penn State sleeping. It was at home for them also. Different ball game.
Man, not at all, man.
Yes. Okay. We beat Penn State by a lot. So
here's the deal. Here's my question. Do you guys think Penn State is better than Ohio State?
No. No.
No?
They caught them on a good night.
And I got a buddy that's an Ohio State fan, and he told me that when they could have punched the ball, they were up two touchdowns. I think they were up two touchdowns. They went for that field goal, and it got blocked. Mm-hmm. That was the kicker's career long that they were aiming for in that game.
Yeah.
They should have just punted it, and then they got that punt blocked for mm-hmm. some odd reason earlier in the game.
Yeah, bad play calling, bad night.
Meyer didn't do what he was supposed to do, and I'm not going to sit here and say special teams do not matter, because they matter 100% because you dictate, you call plays. I watched Colorado Mesa
those
do it 1,000 times.
Those are
game changers. But I do not think.
Everyone takes a playoff and the biggest play of the game.
Exactly. So that's why. But to say that Penn State is better than Ohio State, it just doesn't.
I don't think they're better, but I do think Penn State caught them at the right time. And in reality, it was great for Ohio State. For Ohio State to lose when it did
was
perfect.
And they woke up. You see what they've been doing ever since.
And did you see what they did in the next game? They laid 62 points on Nebraska, the number 10 team in the nation, held under 3 points. And then they went into Maryland and they said, we're going to do it all over again.
Yeah, well, Maryland's
obviously
full of scrubs.
You're right. Maryland is full of scrubs. But I'm just saying, I don't think Penn State's better than Ohio State. I don't think they're better than Wisconsin. I don't think they're better than Michigan. I think they're probably the fifth best team in that conference.
Mm-hmm. Well, a conference that's loaded this year,
yes,
too.
I'm taking Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
What? Who we got? Penn State?
All right,
Aaron's the different one. I like
Penn State, just so I can...
I can't wait.
Just so I can give Darren a hug on Saturday.
No, don't touch me. Especially if they lose that game. Which they won't.
I got Penn State.
All right. We're moving to this Heisman race right now. We got, I think there's three names you got to look at. There's Lamar Jackson, Deontay Foreman, and Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's had a resurgence in the second half of the year. Lamar Jackson is slowly trying to give it away by throwing multiple picks. It doesn't look normal. And the only reason why I got Deontay Foreman in there is because if you're going to consider Danelle Pumphrey, I want Deontay Foreman in there because he rushed for over 2,000 yards.
Deontay Foreman broke Earl Campbell's rushing record in Texas this year.
And the problem is he didn't rush for under 130 yards at all this year. I know his team went 5-7. I know his team was, I don't even want to know what you want. Dumpster fire is the word I'm looking for. But you're running for 330 yards against a team. You're over 2,000 yards. Last time somebody did that was Ricky Williams. Guess what he did that year?
Won the Heisman.
That's
how I feel.
It's true. I just think that anyone else winning the Heisman except for Lamar Jackson is a snub, but look at last year with Christian McCaffrey. I don't know how Derrick Henry won the Heisman. I'm sorry. I think that the Heisman,
right?
I think that the Heisman should, it's about the player that elevates their team to the best that they can be.
I just feel like, yeah, it's like the biggest game changer, man. And that's why I felt like last year, McCaffrey, he was the game changer.
And he got snubbed.
Only, and it was just because, I mean, like I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it was just what we were talking about. It's because, like, his ability on special teams, man.
Honestly, I think that what happens this year is Deshaun Watson wins the Heisman just because, like, you see Derrick Henry was leaving for the, you know, it's his last year in college. Like, all right, we'll give it to you, you know what I mean? And then I think that this year, Deshaun Watson, they're not going to bring him to New York twice to not give it to him. I think he gets it. I think that's a snub completely, and that Lamar Jackson is easily the best player in the country, the most exciting player in the country. You know, the player that elevated his team the most in the country. Mm-hmm. I think that, but and so that's why he got ACC Player of the Year also over Deshaun Watson. But I think Deshaun Watson gets the Heisman.
I'm gonna go with Lamar Jackson just because that's the train that I jumped on.
I'm also picking Lamar.
Well, I want him to win it. Don't get me wrong. I think he should. I just don't think he will.
Fair. As much as I would love for Deontay Foreman to win, you do got to be on a good team probably to win it. I do think he'll be there just because of what he did.
Exactly.
And I think that's what I'm more so advocating for is that he at least deserves to be in the conversation. You can't just let that walk away. I mean, you break Earl Campbell's rushing record and you can't not be acknowledged for that. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So last thing for college football. I read an article earlier this morning. Can Alabama win the SEC with their backups?
I think their toughest, like I said earlier, I think that their toughest test with their backups would be against LSU. The SEC has not been what it normally is this year.
I don't think
that they're going to smack everybody like they have all season. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're just going to win every game, though. I mean, at least at least the SEC West are going to win that.
Yeah, I mean, hard to argue with that they would lose somebody right now.
Their
backup quarterback won the Elite 11 in 2014. He's a four or five star. Blake Barnett, he's getting out of there.
Yeah.
I would understand why. He got beat out by a true freshman.
Yeah, a true freshman who's not giving up that job anytime soon.
No, not until he leaves. So So I do think you can. I mean, I guarantee you there's five-star recruits sitting behind five-star starters right now. So,
bro,
I mean
Alabama is so loaded.
It's a factory, man. It's the most pro-ready program that the big-time recruits can go to, which is why they have continued to remain at the top.
There's another knock, though. Not a knock, but it's most pro-ready. But you don't see quarterbacks coming out from Alabama.
No, because they recruit quarterbacks who are just game managers. That's why Jalen Hurts, their quarterback now, is so crazy.
So
because no one's seen this. No one's seen a quarterback with that much talent.
And it says a lot about Nick Saban, too, in my opinion, where it's like, the game's changing. The NFL is changing. Mm-hmm. How do I get my team ready for that?
And so, I mean, I think that they have a quarterback who is – this might be the first quarterback that I can remember in, you know, Alabama's modern era that is competitive. I mean, you know, not competitive, but can be a good quarterback in the NFL. I think Jalen Hurts so far. He's only a true freshman. And I think he's the one person in the Heisman, you know, conversation that no one's thinking about.
Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Nah, I feel like that's
I mean, he's in
argument.
There. He's
that's
in there.
Nice,
he's not going to go.
That's a good dark horse. Mm-hmm.
He's not going to go, but he's in there. He's in that conversation, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that if he has the same production, his problem is going to be matching this performance next year and the year after that. And now here's the thing this is one thing I noticed about Alabama. Each year they either have a really young offense or a really young defense, but a very veteran like counterpart to it. So if they have a young offense, they have a really veteran defense. This year they have a really veteran defense but a really young offense. Next year they'll have a veteran offense and a young defense because they are graduating everybody in that front seven on Alabama's defense.
They're all probably going to go top 30.
Yeah. I could see seven Alabama defensive players going in the first round.
Yeah.
I just think that like – Alabama, just no one's beating them.
Not for real, man. It's boring. It's like, boring to talk about.
No one's going to beat them. You just can't. There's no formula. I saw something that someone had a formula. You need to have, like, you know, linebackers that can cover. It's just so many things that go into having to beat Alabama that you just can't do. You just don't have – you have to have a quarterback who can run and throw.
Well, you got
to
have a line that can counter – punch that front line for the defensive side. When you go look at what Zeke did, that line for Ohio State moved all the defensive linemen for Alabama.
Yeah, but this year is arguably better than that year.
Absolutely. I'm just saying that's how they beat them. They moved that line and they said, you're not going to get to our quarterback or our running back. Mm-hmm. So I think there are ways to beat Alabama right now. I don't know
no
if anybody's
one
got
has
one
it.
Right
no
now.
No one has it. Like, they're just so good.
So that's all we got for college football. Some NFL news for anybody that cares. My buddy just texted me. Rob Gronkowski is having back surgery tomorrow.
Whoa. So he's out for the season? Or?
Yeah, man.
Probably.
Can. I mean,
it's
like a very, 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 very minor, like, scope procedure. But still, I've never heard of that.
Coming back.
Last time we heard back surgery was J.J. Watt, so.
No time frame on possible return.
Yeah, he's out for the season. Yeah,
Adam Schefter.
So Martellus Bennett's been milking some injuries as well. So go pick up Amendola and Edelman and
Malcolm
else
Mitchell.
Yeah, Malcolm Mitchell
caught three touchdowns in his last two games.
Dude, I'm watching this. This is called Under the Microscope Week 12, and it's just breaking down games and whatnot. Shout out to my boy Andrews Pete.
Andrews, get to the Pro Bowl. Get Pete to the Pro Bowl.
Dude, he just leveled Alec Ogletree and is crazy just to think about that. I was watching the Hard Knocks this season.
Ogletree's
a bad dude.
Yeah, he's a monster.
And I was like, I just saw this dude get ran over. I was like, dang. And I said, oh, man, that's Pete. I'm like, oh, wait, is that 52? We run it back. I'm like, oh, that's Ogletree. So I just texted him. I'm like, bro, you smacked Ogletree.
That's funny.
I'm waiting on his reply. But I mean, that's kind of crazy, man.
Gronk's average return time is 8 weeks.
He's done for the season.
Super Bowl is in 9 weeks.
Super Bowl. It's possible, but I think that I was watching something on SportsCenter, and Bart Scott, the old linebacker for the Jets, he was saying how he thinks that Gronk's stays in New England are numbered. Because when you start to break down, you start to get injured. And they do have his backup already in Martellus Bennett.
Here's the problem with Gronk. He's so damn big that the only way to take him down is to pretty much literally hit his knees.
We're good.
Everyone's already freaking out because I said the word damn. But
we are good.
But
it is not in the top seven. We're good.
you know, you got to take Gronk out by the knees. He's getting all these injuries. You know, that back injury was literally looked like he just got tripped up on a play and fell and hurt it, you know?
He's getting banged up, man.
So he's getting banged up every single year.
The NFL is the kind of league, you can't take this physical. It's such a physical league that, like, if you are a physical runner and you're a physical player like that, you can't do it that long.
No.
I mean, it's just, you can't. Your body just can't hold up on that, you know, under that pressure for so long. And so I just really think that that's why you see the successful tight ends, running backs, you know, positions that take a lot of hits. They're smart about how they play. They go down. They go out of bounds instead of trying to get
that extra yard. Gates and Tony Gonzalez played when
Jason Witten. And so, yeah, like, I mean,
Jason Witten, like, the smartest, man.
He's the smartest. If you're old dude out there and you're playing,
it's like you do have, like, some...
Exactly. Greg Olsen.
Like, great awareness, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just know where things are. You're smart about it. And Gronkowski, either he learns that soon or he... I just don't think he'll ever learn that because the type of player he is, he's just such a physical player.
Yeah, that just goes down. It's like their personality, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean... It's not the knock Gronk. It's like you play hard every single play, but if you want to keep playing every single play,
you need to be smarter. You got to
get out.
And it's just,
and it goes back to the conversation with RG3, man. When are you going to learn to slide? When are you going to learn to get down and stop taking these giant hits?
Instead of flailing your body across the room.
Franchise tagging RG3 next year?
Oh,
I hope not.
For real, I saw it. It buzzed my phone about it.
I just hope that the Browns get smart and just start drafting quarterbacks.
I see you on this inside zone.
The Browns just need to start drafting quarterbacks every year until something clicks. You know what I mean? Like, they need to get somebody because they've got a lot of pieces over there. They just don't have a quarterback.
What man can do this? What
all right.
Man
so,
play left guard and left tackle in the same game.
We're going to, I want to update really quick. Real quick. Sorry. I know we're off topic, but Tiger Woods is at the top of the leaderboard after 8 holes, 4 under. Just saying. Bet it all on Tiger. Going to power rankings for the NFL. We got. This is what I got. Aaron and Darren. What a cool combination to say. They probably don't agree. I got Cowboys at 1, the Patriots at 2, the Raiders at 3, the Seahawks at 4, the Chiefs at 5, the Broncos at 6, the Falcons at 7, the Lions at 8, the Steelers at 9, and then at 10, I got a tie between the Redskins and Giants.
Why are the Lions on any top 10 list ever?
It's a
fluke. Matt Prater's making some kicks. Good for him, but like... Sam Bradford's awful,
Matthew Stafford is an elite quarterback.
No. He texted me this during the Sunday.
He texted me and said
Matthew Stafford's elite. So what?
See, he knew better than to text me that because
everybody thought Matthew Stafford's career was over when Calvin Johnson left. Look what he's done. It's not. Look at what he has done. I'm saying they're in the top 10 because they have won 7 games. I know they're all from come from behind and whatnot.
7 games.
Bro, the Broncos are 7-4. The Broncos are 7-4.
Hey, man, for real, I was watching that. What was it, Sunday night or Monday night?
The Falcons are 7-4.
The Broncos in the Chiefs game. Regardless.
We're not done talking about Matthew Stafford.
No, we are. We're just skipping that like that never happened.
I don't have anything to say about Matthew Stafford except for he is garbage.
He's not garbage.
He is garbage.
He is not garbage.
Okay, how many playoff games he won?
How many playoff games have the Vikings
garbage.
Won?
Garbage. No, we're talking about individual quarterbacks right now. We're not talking about teams. We're talking about quarterbacks.
What?
How many playoff games?
The Vikings have been relevant way more often than the Lions have ever been.
I would take Sam Bradford before I take Matthew Stafford.
You're insane.
Fact.
Matthew Stafford can at least throw a long ball. Sam Bradford can't even stand in the pocket. He'll tear an ACL.
I would take Tony Romo before I took Matthew Stafford.
You're insane.
I'll take Tony Romo with Cleveland's offensive line before I took Matthew Stafford with Dallas's O-line.
You're insane.
He's garbage.
You're insane.
Everything he represents is garbage.
Wow, okay. Darren really, really went off the deep end there. But, like, I can't, man. Him and I are attached to the same on the same side of this argument. I just wasn't hoping he'd sink me that deep.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Here we go. You ready? You ready? Here we go. On the air. 2,800 yards, 19 touchdowns, 5 picks, 2 fumbles, and a QBR of 71 with a rating of 99.3.
Okay, so isn't that...
He's having a good year. I'll give him the good year, but overall, he's garbage.
But you, I guarantee you, when Calvin Johnson retired last year, both of you said, that's the end of the Lions. Because all you thought Matthew Stafford did was throw the ball to Calvin Johnson.
Okay, so
he's turned Marvin Jones, Eric Ebron, Golden Tate III into outstanding receivers. Outstanding receivers.
Dude.
Honestly, he has made Marvin Jones into a great receiver. Hey, Marvin Marvin Jones is on my fantasy team, and he's having a great year. I'm not going to lie. But I don't – technically, it's not Stafford.
You play PPR.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, man.
Immediately that stops.
No.
Yes, this is getting to be ridiculous.
No. Matthew Stafford is garbage. Look, just look at him. Ugh.
Right. Well, when they win a playoff game, we're going to revisit this.
Okay.
So, talk about the Cowboys. They beat the Skins. Their defense sucks.
Cowboys are losing tonight to the Vikings.
They're not losing.
That's
to
not
the Vikings.
Who are you, first of all? No, sir. The Cowboys aren't losing. The Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl.
Hey, man, Dak Prescott is going to get rattled.
What about their defense?
This is the very first time that Dak Prescott is going to get hit. Mark my words. Tonight, Dak Prescott gets hurt. Tony Romo comes in.
No, you're wrong. The line is
too good. And then Tony Romo gets hurt one play later. And then who are they on?
Mark Sanchez.
Oh, there it is. No, Tony Romo, I think that Dak and Ezekiel Elliott and that offensive line and Dez Bryant.
The Vikings are the only team in the league that knows what it's like to have an extreme power running team and know how to stop it.
Since when? Since week four?
No, since 2007 when we drafted Adrian Peterson.
What? Is he still playing this year or is he hurt?
He'll come back.
He might come back.
I got him on my fantasy team. Yeah, I picked
him up. All I'm saying is since he's entered the league, we...
Hey, here's something for you.
An offensive line that has been able to get him, what, two MVPs?
Here we go. You ready for some stats?
One.
Rookie year through 12 games, Adrian Peterson, 1,200 yards. Rookie year through 12 games, Ezekiel Elliott, 1 yard less. More total touchdowns, more receiving yards, one less rushing touchdown.
I think Ezekiel Elliott
is the MVP this year.
Special talent. I think that he's going to just – Dallas, that's just the best draft scenario that you could ever hope for, Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas. I don't see them losing at all. Is this the same Vikings?
What about their – okay. Screw the offense. Screw Prescott. Screw Elliott. What about their defense? They gave up 500 total yards to the Redskins.
All I'm saying
is... Yeah, they don't have a defense. But, hey, Kirk Cousins is a pretty good quarterback, though. I have to take Kirk Cousins before I took Matthew Stafford.
I feel like the Vikings have seen a lot. You need to relax. Don't pass out.
I'm telling you, John, it's the truth.
Wait, where
Matthew Stafford and Kirk Cousins are the exact same person.
False.
What?
True. Jameis, you're going to bet on Jameson Crowder hit 80-yard plays every single game?
Okay.
Deshaun Jackson?
I would take...
The only better person...
I've been a fan of Kirk Cousins since he got drafted in the third round with RG3. What are you talking about?
Hold on. Before you get into
check the tweets.
Kirk Cousins... He's having a great year. Congrats.
Matthew Stafford has proven time and time and again that he is just an overrated, overpaid quarterback. How many playoff games?
You get mad about what, Cousins?
I'm talking about Matthew Stafford.
Kirk Cousins has done the exact same thing Matthew Stafford has done. Get to the playoffs and lose.
Okay, yeah, no, that's cool. But Kirk Cousins has had a much different path.
He's been in the league a fraction of the time. Look at his stats when he became a starter last year. That's the only time he became a full-time starter. He's rising. He is not dipping. Matthew Stafford has had just a pendulum swing of a career. He's up and down, up and down, up and down. Kirk Cousins is going nowhere but up. He's on the uptick. He is good. He's better than Matthew Stafford. I take him 10 out of 10 times over Matthew Stafford.
I don't.
I hate both of them.
I like Kirk Cousins.
Nah, Kirk Cousins is way too much. And
fiery.
Yeah, but you're being fiery to the right people. I like the people in the huddle, the ones that matter. Like, you don't grab your owner and be like, "How you like me now?"
That's ridiculous. I kind of like it just because of everything the screw that he's come into the league with. He was drafted literally to be a backup. You know what I mean? You can tell that they wanted him, but they're like, we want RG3 more because he's just more of a special talent. He's waited. He's waited his time. He's proven to everybody that he's an elite quarterback. Look for the Redskins to be in the Super Bowl in the next 3 to 5 years with Kirk Cousins at the helm. I said, you heard it here first on Outspoken, December 1st, 2016, 11:52 a.m. Look for the Redskins to be a top tier team and an NFL and a Super Bowl winning team behind the arm of Kirk Cousins.
Wrong.
In the next 3 to 5 years.
Next. Right.
Well, we got some views today. My goodness.
That's
all right. Patriots beat the Jets. Very poor performance from the Patriots.
Yeah.
It's cool, but I mean,
even Tom the best fall down. Tom Brady's still the best.
Offense isn't anything without Gronk, in my personal opinion.
What do you know? The offense isn't anything without Tom Brady.
Yes, true, but
you they have Martell. You forget about Martellus Bennett.
He hasn't done anything in the last three games. He hasn't done anything. I have him on my fantasy team. I'm very frustrated. I'm very frustrated.
He should be doing something, but I just think if you have Tom Brady at the helm, you're going to win that game.
Yeah, you're going to win that game. My question is, when Gronk doesn't play a full game, he's hit Malcolm Mitchell for touchdowns.
Is it in Dallas?
That's what's great about Tom Brady. He can, I mean, he just makes everybody brand. The great thing about Tom Brady is that he doesn't care about his numbers. He doesn't care about passing for 400 yards.
No, you're right. I agree.
And that's why he's such a great quarterback. And he doesn't care who gets the ball. As long as you get the ball. Like, I remember this. I had Tom Brady on my fantasy team last year in the game that Jonas Gray or whatever his name is, or what is that running back they had, they cut for sleeping in, ran for like six touchdowns in the cold weather, and Tom Brady passed for 32 yards that entire game.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you kidding me right now? But that's the thing about Tom Brady. He doesn't care.
I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying I think their offense takes a step backward without Gronkowski.
I don't think so.
Because Martellus Bennett and Gronk are two different types
of receivers. You forget about Amendola and Edelman.
And where have they been the last couple weeks?
It's been cold. They ran the ball.
Bro, they ran the ball 11 times last week.
I think they ran more than 11 times, didn't they?
LeGarrette got 11 of them, and they only probably ran for only 20 times.
I just traded in my fantasy football league.
Hello, Aaron.
I traded in my fantasy football league. LeGarrette Blount for Latavius Murray. Was that a smart trade?
Latavius Murray, who does he put? I have him on
the Raiders.
Team. He's pretty – no, bad move. Because Latavius Murray, honestly, you got to remember he splits carries with – He's supposed to carry with like two other backs.
Jalen Richard and John J. Washington.
It's like a three-back system over there. So sometimes, some games he's going off for 20 points. Other games he is going off for
one. The game
is
the Broncos.
LeGarrette Blount isn't a consistent 20 points.
No,
he
it's
had a,
not.
He had a 45-yard touchdown call back last week.
Call back.
Man, what? John! John!
He's on my
John!
Team. All right, moving on from the Patriots. Raiders beat the Panthers. Weird game. Their defense sucks,
Raiders
too.
Raiders just look good, though.
Derek Carr is an animal.
I think the Raiders, excuse me, pretty good. I like the Raiders this year.
I like
year.
The Raiders, too.
I mean, they're good. their defense
is their defense good.
Good
enough to stop somebody?
Yeah.
Is Khalil Mack going to have to do everything again?
No, because they have that the guy from Seattle, the Smith guy from Seattle.
Sean Smith.
They have that line, you know, the linebacker. Then they have a D line.
Oh, they got Bruce Irvin.
Bruce Irvin. Yeah, they have him.
And Malcolm Smith.
They got Malcolm Smith. Yeah, so those two Seattle guys. And then they have Carl Joseph. I think they're pretty good, man. Their defense is good.
The Vikings.
They just squandered a 17-point lead against the Panthers.
But the Panthers are a team that just are having a down year, honestly.
Luke Kuechly-less,
Cam Newton-less, honestly. I have Cam Newton on my fantasy team, and it's been the most disappointing thing this entire season. Because I got him in, like, the fourth round. I thought it was a steal.
I got him in the fourth round.
Trash.
You got to get him some weapons. I think I got Tom Brady in the fourth round.
Mm-hmm. And he's got Ted Ginn. He's got Kelvin Benjamin.
Kelvin
Benjamin's like 6'6".
I mean, I understand that, but I mean,
he's just having it down here. Just look for the Panthers to bounce back next year and be back to the Panthers next year.
All right. Seattle lost to the Buccaneers.
Wow.
14-5.
That was a terrible game.
First quarter touchdowns from Mike Evans and Jameis Winston, and they couldn't put anything on the board.
Seattle's offense has just not been there this year. Marshawn Lynch, you can see how much of a factor Marshawn Lynch was in Seattle because they don't have anything. Now, if Seattle drafts a Christian McCaffrey or a Samaje P. Ryan or, you know, a Joe Mixon or a back this year, Leonard Fournette.
They're not going to get Leonard Fournette.
Thank you,
Derek Geist.
That's the first running back.
Geist is an underclassman. Geist is coming back next year for Edo.
But I just think that, you know, Seattle, if they get a back this year, which I think they're going to target, and that offense, and pick us up that offensive line, then they'll be back. But I just think Seattle right now, their offense just isn't there. I think Russell
Wilson.
Offensive
line is bad.
Yeah, it's the offensive line. They just don't have any. Russell Wilson in the early part of the season got sacked. I mean, like
they'll
five
still
times
be in the
a
playoff
game.
Contention
can I say something
it.
Though? Can I? Well, yeah, the NFC West is the worst. division.
Man, it's so I hate how hot and cold they can be because last year they were the best, and it was like they have three teams in there.
They did. This year it sucks. It's by far maybe the worst conference or division out there. I think one of the biggest, the dumbest trades I've ever really witnessed after seeing what has happened recently is trading Max Unger for Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
Because you took away your center that controls your whole offensive line.
For a guy who has not produced in the slightest. And Jimmy Graham.
I mean, he's produced this year, but before that, there he wasn't really
easy,
there.
Cowboy. I have him on my fantasy team.
I love how we use fantasy, too.
Yeah, to gauge how well someone's been doing. No, I just really think that that was a dumb trade because I think that Jimmy Graham fit perfectly in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Max Unger fit perfectly in Seattle. And that whole trade surprised. I mean, I thought it would be a good trade.
I'll tell you what, firsthand, Max Unger is. Pivotal piece.
Yeah, I think it was a big deal that messed up part of the line for the Seahawks.
I think that people underestimate.
You just lose continuity, man.
Exactly. How important the center is. I mean, the center controls everything. He's the quarterback of that offensive line. He is the one who touches the ball for sure every single play.
And it's just like, it's nice having, like, when you play on an offensive line, I remember when I was playing guard, like, it was nice just to know that, like, I know that the center position is a
exactly. Yeah. You know that
as soon as there's a question mark at the center position,
on the offensive line. I played center in high school. You work from the inside out.
Yeah.
Your stud has to be at that center position. Your guy who is like the smartest guy on your team, you know, he's your team leader, one of your team leaders, is at the center position. The center position is just one of the most important positions because that's the guy who is checking down, you know, checking, making all the blitz calls, all the blocking formations, things like that, you know what I mean? And it gets more and more complicated the higher the levels you go. I mean, I remember when I played in high school at center, you know, I had to, you know, give everyone's protections on the offensive line. I can only imagine how it is in college. You know, identify Mike linebackers, blitzing linebackers over here, over there. You know what I mean? That's why the center is always the last one to get down in the stance. He's just standing there up looking up at everybody, or he's got the ball, you know, he's looking at everybody because he's trying to identify everything. So if you don't have the guy like that who's just that, you know, football IQ isn't up to par, and, you know, along with the physical ability also, then you're going to have a hard time.
All right. We okay with the Seahawks being a 4? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it was just a bad loss, I think, to the Buccaneers.
And their defense is just.
And then Earl Thomas didn't play. Earl Thomas didn't play in that game.
And their defense is just what keeps them in game.
So, all right.
They were in the game the entire time. 14 points is nothing.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest games of the weekend, I think, in my personal opinion, was who got to be second place in the AFC West. And the Chiefs showed me something I did not expect against the Broncos.
Man, Eric Berry in that secondary, you know, they know how to play both.
Except for Thomas Gaines.
Yeah,
he was
making some decent plays, bro, down the stretch.
Yeah, he showed up a little bit towards the end, but
he reminds me kind of like Trey Wainsey. They're going to pick on him until he makes a play.
Yeah. So, Alex Smith, I'm going to eat my words. I said he was a game manager. He's the perfect person for Andy Reid in that offense.
Yeah.
He's perfect. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill has shown out as one of the best sleeper picks. I don't even know where Tyreek Hill went to school. But he's out here balling. You know, they didn't play with Jeremy Maclin. Alex, they needed 8 points, and Alex Smith drove him right down the field with no timeouts and got him in the end zone and got a 2-point conversion on the next play. And then, ideally, the game probably should end in a tie because Kyle Santos' kick banked in. But, you know, hey,
I just hate the tie.
I feel like the Chiefs deserve to win that game. I feel like they played a better football game.
Here's my question. The Broncos wasted a 400-yard, 3-touchdown performance from Trevor Siemian.
He had a great game.
How many times are you going to get that from him again?
I mean, we've seen a couple times where he's thrown for multiple touchdowns.
Yeah, and we've seen the way to stop it. Get pressure on him, and once there's pressure, he becomes scared of his own.
Because Justin Houston had a game.
Miller had a game
that
too.
That was probably one of the best games I've watched from start to end. Because Von Miller and Justin Houston
both
did what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You had Marcus Peters for them. You had Chris Harris and Aqib Talib.
How good that Von Miller is in the pass game as well.
Yeah, pass game, rush game. You know,
he's one of the best linebackers in the country.
He might be the best linebacker in the game.
It might be one in contention if he continues the way he's been playing for a few more years. He might be up there with, you know, Lawrence Taylor, who I think
Ryan Urlacher, Mike Singletary.
Boy, I mean, well, no, I think
you're talking about outside.
Yeah, I'm talking about outside backers, you know, pass rush specialist kind of guys. And I think Lawrence Taylor was the father of
that
position.
That. Yeah, he started.
If he keeps it up, he could be in contention with Lawrence Taylor as well. But I just think Lawrence Taylor right now is the best of all time.
But that It was probably one of the better games. Alex Smith proved something to me that he can he can walk down a field when he needs to, and he can win a game if he has to.
It's not like he hasn't done it before. He hasn't. Winning playoff games like that with Vernon Davis in San Francisco.
Yeah. I'm still mad that he got benched in San Francisco. I'm still pissed.
That's something for them that's still shooting them.
I'm sure the entire staff.
That's something for them that's still biting them in the foot right now.
Yeah, you keep Alex Smith, your team's still
going
right now.
And you also fire Harbaugh.
So,
Harbaugh is thriving. He'll go wherever he goes.
Harbaugh, yeah.
All right. We're not going to talk about the Lions because y'all just jump all over me.
Oh, no.
The Falcons, okay, so statistically, the Cardinals are the best defense in the league with passing yards per game. They got waxed by I'm not saying the Cardinals are good. I've pretty much given up on the season. We got to figure something out at the quarterback. We got to figure out how to play offense again.
Are you saying Carson Palmer's not the answer anymore?
He's old.
He's old. He's regressed a lot. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the Falcons. Julio Jones had 30 yards that game, and they won by 20-something points.
Yeah, but you also still have Deontay, what's his name, the running back they have in there.
They got Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman. Tyler Gabriel got cut by the Browns, and he had two touchdowns. Matt Ryan.
So I mean, they have offensive talent. I mean, just because Julio Jones is down.
I'm just saying, look at what they did without Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Against one of the best. I still think Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu and DJ Swearinger that's filled in, and Tony Jefferson and Deion Buchanan are some of the best defensive secondary.
Yeah, they're just having a down year.
And
just
so,
like Carolina.
So I think the Falcons did a lot this past week to say we're ready to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. Solidifying the spot in the South.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, three more teams. Steelers, they beat the Colts. Scott Tolzien, Antonio Brown, two touchdowns. Are they back on track? Do you think they're back on track?
Yeah, but I also think that the Colts are just a team that Andrew Luck needs to figure it out.
Well, Andrew Luck didn't even play that game. So
he didn't play?
He had a concussion.
Oh, yeah. Well, he needs to figure it out just in general.
Okay.
But
so.
I don't know. I feel like I was a believer of Andrew Luck earlier.
I am too, but
he was putting out real good games.
He's still top five in passing.
I said it early that I was thinking Andrew Luck was going to go down. You know, when we were old, is like one of the Tom Brady's to ever play. Just because, like,
and he might,
he might. He just has to play a little bit smart. He has to be better at making decisions, like, you know, what to do with the ball. Mm-hmm. But I think that comes over time. There's a reason they signed him to that huge contract last year. So,
yeah, I agree.
All right. Lastly, Redskins and Giants, you know, you talked about Kirk Cousins, you know, it makes it tough for me to believe in that offense because there's no running back, and it's the phone call. It's somebody's calling it. I don't know how to do it. Sorry, people. But Jameson Crowder and Deshaun Jackson are burners. They kind of just leave people behind. You know, against Dallas, they had a bunch of busted coverages. I'll be honest. That one with Deshaun Jackson was amazing. I can't believe he was wide open like that. But Eli Manning, he had a bad year last year, in my opinion. He threw like 25 interceptions or something like that. But he's come back this year, and he's done really, really well without much running back help. Rashad Jennings hasn't really been there. You know, Odell's calmed down like he should have a long time ago and said, I'm just going to play football. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do what I got to do on the field. If Sterling Shepard's helped him a lot, I think Victor Cruz coming back, even though he hasn't done much since the first week.
And their defense, man, they have been absolutely
Jason Pierre-Paul,
on fire.
Jason Pierre-Paul,
player of the week.
Back. They've had like some crazy amount of turnover ratio.
I remember, you're right. Landon Collins has proven to be a beast out there in the secondary. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is turning out to be a great cornerback as well. And Jason Pierre-Paul looks to have figured out how to play without three fingers, finally. And he's getting hurries. He's getting quarterback hits. He's doing things that he used to do. So I think the NFC East is probably the best division out there right now. And three teams from that are going to come out. And then you got the AFC West, and three teams might come out of that as well. Mm-hmm. I don't really see the Dolphins getting in the playoffs as much as I like what they've been doing lately. I think the Broncos are going to sneak in again.
Yeah, they will. The Broncos are
going to be. We're going to hit up some fantasy football real quick, and then we're going to get out of here.
Jameson Crowder against your Cardinals or Tyreek Hill at Atlanta?
I have both those players, and I'm not playing either.
Really?
Yeah, I'm terrified of playing both of them. I'm afraid they're not going to do what they usually do.
So then what, Jordy Nelson is a lock?
Against who?
Houston?
Yeah. Houston's defense is garbage. Their defensive secondary is garbage.
And Mike Thomas has been on fire.
Yeah, you got to go, Mike. They're not throwing the ball to Brandon Cooks.
Cooper.
Amari Cooper.
At home against Buffalo?
Yeah.
They don't have any secondary. They have a good front seven.
Steph Stephen Gilmore and Bradley Nickel
Redskins
Roman.
Defense against Arizona?
Who?
Redskins defense against Arizona?
Yes. Never. Go Cardinals. Yes. Bird Gang.
No, I honestly picked up the Giants. So
Bird Gang.
Yep.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Outspoken once again. I'm John Cusick here with my partners, Aaron Simons, and I almost called you Aaron Burton and Darren Simons. That would have been really weird. Anyways, Darren Burton and Aaron Simons. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about next week as conference championships get over and Selection Sunday comes up this weekend. You guys have a wonderful rest of your week. We're going to sign off now. We'll see you next Thursday. Well, I guess next hopefully Thursday. You hear us next Thursday. You guys have a wonderful week.